You are listening to The Christian Commute, a commute-length podcast about Christian apologetics, theology, and other matters of Christian interest. Here is your host, Seth Dunn.
It is Wednesday, January 27th. This is The Christian Commute. I am your host, Seth Dunn, and you are riding to church with me. It is Wednesday night church time. For the first time since COVID shut us down, golly, it seems 7 months ago. It was a long time ago. But I remember first COVID took the salad bar, which was my favorite thing about Wednesday night church. And then finally, COVID took all the meals away and we stopped meeting. So now we're starting back. So I'm looking forward to going back here. And that's where I'll be, so I will end the show, hopefully, if I time it right, in the church parking lot. I'm not staying for the discipleship classes, though, because my kids still have basketball going on. They have their last couple of practices before the tournament. What kind of pagan world are we living in, where they have sports practice on Wednesday night? It used to be you wouldn't have a lot of sports practice on Wednesday night because of church, but it is what it is. And I might help out a little bit. I try not to be that parent who tells the coach, this is what you ought to do. But today I was like, hey coach, this is what you ought to do. And he's like, that's a good idea. I think we'll do it. So I might help him a little bit with practice. I'm a little excited about that. Got a great little evening planned for myself. But first, well, included in the great little evening is today's episode of The Christian Commute. I have a full show planned for you today. I need to get my wheels realigned, I think. I'm a little jittery in the car. This can't be good for it. I have a full show planned. Today's show title is the North American Mission Board Lady Pastor. And of course, when you're talking about lady pastors, you have to put it in square quotes, scare quotes, lady quote unquote pastor. Because there's no such thing as a female pastor. So, you wait, when I publish this episode, the title will have a scare quote for the North American Mission Board Lady Pastor. I have a question in the inbox about family relations, specifically unsaved family members in a specific passage of the Bible, what that means about them or for them. And as always, we have the Bible chapter review. We continue in Mark chapter 14 in verses 12 through 16. Jesus is about to eat the Passover meal, what we refer to as the Last Supper. And he's also about to be betrayed. So Mark says, after Judas goes to plot with the priests to betray Jesus, Mark says that it was the first day of the Festival of Unleavened Bread, when the Passover lamb was being sacrificed. So this is to let the reader know what's going on in Jerusalem in terms of the holiday festival. We know exactly what time of the year it is. We know exactly what's going on. We know that it's an important time of the year. And his disciples, Jesus' disciples, ask him, they say, where do you want us to prepare the Passover meal for you to eat? So remember, they're not in Galilee. They're not in their home country. They're away in the big city. And they don't have a place in the big city. They've been staying in Bethany. I think we can presume they were staying with Mary and Martha and Lazarus in Bethany. And Jesus tells them, he says, go into the city and you'll meet a guy there who's carrying a pitcher. Follow that guy to a house. Go in the house and ask the owner of the house, say to the owner of the house, the teacher says this. So they have a message from Jesus. The teacher says, where is my guest room for me to eat the Passover in? And Jesus says that the owner of the house will take them to a large upstairs room. We refer to this commonly as the upper room. And it will already be furnished for Jesus and his whole group of disciples to eat the Passover meal. They're going to find exactly what they need. This is a similar story to when Jesus sends his disciples into town to get himself a donkey. And he says, you're going to find a donkey? Some animal to ride on. I don't think it's a horse. And you'll find a donkey tied to a tree and just take it. And if anybody says, why are you taking that donkey? Just say the Lord has need of it. And just as the case was with the donkey, they went in and they found the guy exactly as Jesus said, and they found the house just like Jesus said. And then that's where they had a place to prepare the Passover meal. Jesus knows what's coming, y'all. He knows he's going to get crucified. He knows he's going to be betrayed. And he even knows where the donkey's going to be. He knows where the Passover is going to be. He's got it all planned out. This is no accident, what's about to happen and what is happening. And with that, I'll end the Bible chapter review. I wish I could pass this white Chevy Colorado blocking me, you know, and my food at First Baptist Church. I can't tell what state he's from. He has an Army tag. It says a Georgia Army tag. He's in the Army. Look at this. But he's got four stickers to indicate that he's in the Army. Not only is he in the Army, but he's in the Cavalry Division of the Army. I thought you Cavalry Division guys went faster. Maybe he's on the other. I think he's on the other side of Desert Storm. He's not in a hurry anymore. But now he politely got into the middle lane. Thank you for your service and thank you for getting over, Chevy Colorado Army Cavalry Man. Let's go to the inbox. Do you have a question about Christian theology or apologetics? You can write to SethDunn88@gmail.com. SethDunn88@gmail.com. Or you can dial 470-315-0875. 470-315-0875. Today's question comes from Shay in Huntersville, North Carolina. Shay is a male. That is a unisex name people use. I've met girl Shays and boy Shays. This is a boy Shay. And he and his family have been discussing 1 Corinthians 7 verses 12 through 16. And maybe now they're listening to the Christian Commute to see what I think about it. Hello, Shay and family. And they all agree that it doesn't mean that unsaved people are saved, or unbelieving people are saved. So in 1 Corinthians 7, verses 12 through 16, Paul is giving instructions to someone who has an unbelieving husband or wife. So he's saying, he first gives instructions to the church people and how they act in family. And he says, now listen, if you have an unbelieving husband or an unbelieving wife, here's what you're supposed to do. So if you want to, you can pause the show and go read that scripture. So pause, unpause. And Paul makes a comment, and he said, well, first of all, he gives a directive. He says, don't leave your unbelieving spouse. Like, stick with them. If they'll stick with you, you stick with them. And he says, for the unbelieving husband is sanctified by his believing wife and vice versa. And he says, and your children would otherwise be unclean, but they are holy. And Shay says, well, hold on. This person's unsaved. Surely it doesn't mean that the unbelieving person is saved just because he's married to a believer. It's not salvific. In other words, the only way to get saved is to repent of your sins and accept Jesus Christ as Lord. It is not salvific to find somebody who is a believer and then marry her. And that means you're saved whether you believe or not. Shay says, I don't think it means that. What's it mean? I agree with you, Shay. It doesn't mean that. So the words to pay attention to here, sanctify and holy, are very similar in Greek. So sanctify here, it's a verb, hagiazo, and that means to make holy or to sanctify. And then when it talks about the children being holy, that's an adjective, hagios. So you can see that it's basically the same word. It's the adjectival form of the verb. So hagios, we have an English word for that. When we talk about the doctrine of holiness, we talk about hagiography. That's the thing, what it means to be set apart and holy. And we know the church is set apart and holy. Things that are set apart have a special use. They are not common, generally speaking. So when Paul says that the unbelieving spouse is made holy, what he's saying is that that unbelieving house is a part of a household of a believer. And thus, you're going to get some kind of benefit from being part of a household in the household of a believer. Like, you're okay, in other words. Like, if you've ever seen that movie Goodfellas from Martin Scorsese that's violent and full of F-words, and you go, this guy's a good fella, he's one of us. It's like that. Like, you're not some outside, unholy, unclean pagan. You are acceptable in Christian society just because you are married to a Christian. It doesn't mean you're saved. In fact, Paul says elsewhere in the same scripture, in the same book, he says, for, you know, they might get saved through the witness of their spouse. So stay with them. They might get saved through the witness of their spouse. And here's how to understand the term holy that Paul uses. Look at what the other term he uses. He says, your children would be unclean, but they are holy. Your children would be unclean, because you're married to an unbelieving spouse in that household, but they are holy. Why? Because you're holy. They're not unclean. They're not people you shouldn't associate or have anything to do with. They're holy. Take the next left onto Poplar Springs Road. They can be accepted in the church. Not as members per se, but as just people to look on favorably. And God is going to look upon that person favorably in a temporal sense just because they're married to you, because the two become one flesh. So you're right, Shay, it's not salvific, but it is something positive. It's a good thing. But it'd be best if they got saved. And here's something strange. If it seemed like I was distracted while I was giving that Bible chapter review, I am because it's raining so hard today, and because I wanted to see how long it would take me to get to church, I told the navigation lady, I told Google, I said, navigate to First Baptist Church. And all I wanted to check on was if there was traffic, and then I wanted to know how long it would take me to get there. Right now it says I'm going to be there at 5:46. I left it right on the, tried to leave right on the dot at 5 o'clock today. And the weird thing is that it had me get off of I-75, and now I'm in a side road in Adairsville. And I would have never thought it is quicker to get off on I-75 and get on Highway 41 to go to the First Baptist Church. I would have never thought that, but it told me to do it. So I unquestionably accept the directions of Google, and that's what I've done. So now, I'm going to get to the show topic, but it's always more difficult to do these show topics when I'm on a side road. I'm not cruising down the interstate, but I'm going to try. The NAM Lady Pastor, the North American Mission Board Lady Pastor. So you guys know I've got a beef with the North American Mission Board, and I always advise people not to give any money to the North American Mission Board. And I've been saying for years to shut down the North American Mission Board. I used to say shut it down and fold it into the International Mission Board. But now I don't even know if I'd say that. US 41 South, Joe Frank Harris Parkway, North. But there was a news item yesterday among all the discernment-type bloggers. This is your Reformation Charlottes of the world, Capstone Reports of the world. There is a church in Florida, a church plant, and it's called One Name Church. One name, not O-N-E, one, the letter one name. So how hip is that? One name church. We're one name church. And there are some introduction videos on their website and whatnot from this church. And there's a woman on there named Jamie who introduces herself as one of the pastors. In fact, I think she was referred to as a quote-unquote lead pastor at One Name Church. She is married to a man named Corey, and they're the quote-unquote pastors of that church. Now, it is not uncommon in the United States to see churches who claim to have both a male and female pastor who are married. It's generally kind of common in charismatic circles, I've noticed. Like, instead of having the pastor and the quote-unquote first lady, you have the pastor, and the pastor's wife is also a pastor. And they're real subtle about it. These are our pastors, S. And then the man's up there preaching, but the lady is also a quote-unquote pastor. What's the deal with that? What's the deal with this GMC Acadia in front of me? I'm sitting here stopped on a Highway 41 intersection, and there's cars everywhere, and I'm a dead standstill trying to get somewhere because the stupid internet told me to go this way, and I got one of these people in front of me who will not turn. Like, oh, I don't know about this. I better wait till I can't see a car for miles in either direction for me to turn. And I'm going to sit here and stop doing the Christian commute until this GMC Acadia Bartow County license plate CNA4032 expiring in August 21st turns. I'm going to sit here behind. It's hard enough because traffic's bad. Like, here's an opportunity. All right now, you should be turning now. And you're sitting there like a knot on a log. I got half a mind to turn. I hate turning left. I hate unprotected left turns. Go! Now this person went like an inch. Go! Oh, wow. 1,001, 1,002, 1,003, 1,004, 1,005. That, 1,006, 1,000. That's when the car would have hit you. All right, they might go now. You better go. Oh, my gosh, this is horrible. I hope some of you people are getting a good laugh out of this. Just keep hitting fast. Just hit fast forward 15 seconds until this is over. Go. Please go. I'm going to go right behind you. You know what the problem is now? This person's probably a slow driver anyway. Now I'm going to get stuck behind this awful driver the whole rest of the way. Now look. Now I'm later. Even later than I'm going to be. I got to leave to go to basketball practice at 6:30. This is a nightmare. By the way, this is my nightmare. Some people are out there in the Sudan getting massacred by Muslim terrorists. My nightmare is somebody took too long to turn on Highway 41 and it's raining. I guess it's relative. Okay, so back to the NAM lady pastor. This woman, Jamie. So they're not making any bones about it. They're out there on video and on their website saying, hey, we got a lady pastor. But on their church website, they're supporting organizations. One of them says North American Mission Board. This is a Send North America church. So the North American Mission Board has this program called Send, and you have Send Cities, and we're going to send people to churches. That's the idea. And what that means is that this church plant was intentionally either put there by NAM, or it was put there by somebody else, and NAM is supporting it. So this is a church that is getting paid for with Southern Baptist money. Notice I don't say it's just a Southern Baptist church, because to be a Southern Baptist church, it just means your church is sending money in and cooperating with the Southern Baptist Convention. It's the opposite. This church is getting, arguably, I mean, I ain't seen their finances, getting more money than they send in. So when you're one of these North American Mission Board churches, what they do is they'll give you money and they say, here's the deal. We're going to give you money and we're going to give you a church plant guru to talk to. And we'll send you so much money, but we get 10% of your take. You got to give us 10% of what you bring in. So it's like this. The NAM would give them $5,000 a month, and then their total tithe take, because it's a church plant and small, it might be $2,500. So they're going to send 10%, $250 back to NAM. So all that to say that this church is not only Southern Baptist in its name, Southern Baptists are paying for it. So if you're a Southern Baptist and you give the cooperative program, you're paying for this church. Let me give you an example. I am on the way to the First Baptist Church of Cartersville. that church gives to the cooperative program. So the people that I'm eating with tonight, those Southern Baptist people, they're paying for this church to have a lady pastor. Even though the Baptist Faith and Message 2000, which is the official confession of faith of the Southern Baptist Convention, and by the way, of First Baptist Church where I'm going. Now, I'm not trying to criticize First Baptist Church. I'm just saying that's where I'm going. And this is a real-life example. I'm not talking about some abstract thing about people you and I will never meet. This is a real thing. Some of you may be paying for this because you won't listen to me and stop giving to the cooperative program. But the official confession of faith, the First Baptist, is the Baptist Faith and Message. So why would them or anybody else want to pay for a church that has a female pastor? Well, I don't think they would, but the problem is they're not told about these things. It's all done in secret. People just trust Nahum. They just trust Kevin Ezell to do the right thing, but he won't and he doesn't. And Tom Askell from Founders Ministries found out about it. Now he tweets Kevin Ezell. Here's what happened. Kevin Ezell says, "Oh, send me a direct message, Tom." He's going to get the everything's fine private call from the Southern Baptist muckety-muck. We talk privately and everything's fine. That's what's going to happen. But what can be said in that call? Nothing can be said other than that we messed up and we're going to stop supporting this church plant. Now, by the way, the church plant is already trying to change their website and stuff. They've already removed the NAM banner off the bottom. Give me a break. We've got screenshots. You're not fooling anybody. Now, here's the thing. When you have a big, broad group of churches or denomination funding things, there's no guarantee that some church they support or some program they support won't go rogue and break the rules. There's no guarantee. But the real lesson is, or the real issue is like, how'd you handle it when you found out? And then the second one is, well, who vetted these people in the first place? But what you have is a big bunch of doctrinal, I don't care. These people are just handing other people's money out. And you get down to it and you say, well, how did this happen? How did a woman get to be a pastor and get supported by the SBC? Listen, y'all, heretics gonna heretic. Heretics are gonna heretic no matter what. They're just gonna do it. That's life. The question we need to ask ourselves is, why is a Baptist entity planting churches to begin with? That's not the job of a Baptist convention, because you got to think about local authority. All churches are local churches and they're independent. How independent can your church be if the denomination is given all this money and the church is obligated to pay money to the denomination? All right, goodbye, Acadia. Highway 41 just went to two lanes, and I don't care if I die in the pouring down rain passing this car. If it's the last thing I'm going to do is to rid myself of this person's presence. Ooh. It feels good. It's like breaking up with a girlfriend you don't like after a long relationship. That's what it feels like to pass a person you're stuck behind. Like, I finally have the opportunity, and I'm going to pass them. It's like quitting a job you don't like and getting a better one. I'm gone. I'm going to pass this Hyundai Elantra while I'm at it. Their license plate said, "Jesus is Lord." Amen. Jesus is Lord. Not the license plate itself, the license plate holder. All right, now going back to NAM. The problem is, some people think the problem is, like, we don't understand complementarianism. No, the problem is, you got to dig down to the roots of these problems. The problem is that NAM is planting churches. Churches should be planting other independent churches. But here's what happens, is NAM gets money from all the little churches and conventions out there. Now they got millions of dollars. Now we're going to plant a church. We're going to decide, we're going to, like, consultants. We know what city it needs to be in, and we're going to find church planters, and we're going to support them. So now they have other people's money to hand out. It's like a government grant program. Do you think the government grant program is the best way to spend your tax dollars? Do you think the best people are going to get that money? That sounds Trumpian. Oh, the best people are going to get the money. I give money to the best people. So forgive me for sounding Trumpian. But do you think the best people are going to get the money? Do you trust the government grant program? The answer is no. Why do you trust the North American Mission Board grant program? It's a big bureaucratic entity. And here's the thing. If you won't own that gravy train, if you won't own that North American Mission Board gravy train, is it wise? Is it wise for you to criticize anybody else on the gravy train, even if it's a heretic woman pastor? And the answer is no, it's not wise for you, because you'll get kicked off the gravy train and you won't get back on. You better trust the leadership, trust the trustees. Now, is it theologically wise? Yeah, because that's the right thing to do. These Corey and Jamie people should be called to repentance. And NAM should have publicly, here's the thing, it should have publicly announced an immediate break. But that's not what happens. It's just a bunch of people putting up with stuff. You know how NAM got this way? Because people put up with it. And it's not going to change because people keep putting up with it. So as always, what I'm going to do is drill down to your local church. Why do you keep putting up with it? You can't stop NAM from being horrible. Listen, if NAM went out of business tomorrow, this Corey and Jamie people, they'd probably still find a way to say they were pastors. You can't stop people in a free country from going around being heretics. God could stop them with a lightning bolt, but he doesn't. A lightning bolt. He could give them cancer. He could rain fire and brimstone out of the air. He could do it. He could do that with all the abortion clinics, too. He doesn't. For whatever reason, he doesn't. He's not stopping them. You can't stop them. But you don't have to pay for it. You don't have to pay for it. And every time, how many times do I have to do this show? I'm going to do it until somebody, you know, on that Dave Ramsey show? You ever listen to Dave Ramsey's radio show? And Dave Ramsey's radio show is one of those things where if you've heard four shows, you've heard every show. Every show is, welcome to Dave Ramsey's show. You're never a true priest until you get saved by the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ. Welcome, caller. Tell me about how much money you're in debt. Dave, I'm $50,000 in debt. I'm a pizza delivery man. And my wife is a nighttime janitor, and she is $80,000 in debt. And Dave Ramsey's like, all right, here's what you need to do. Eat rice and beans and rice. Sell your car and get an old clunker car and drive around until you pay yourself off. And then the next caller says, Dave, I've paid off all my debt. I'm debt-free. And he plays the Braveheart theme. It's freedom. I'm debt-free. And they tell Dave, I've been following your plan. I went to Financial Peace University, and I'm debt-free, Dave. I'm debt-free. And then Dave says, here's what you need to buy no-load mutual funds and invest in your 401k before you save for your kids' college. It's the same show. Every single show. It's the same show. And I realize that my shows can be repetitive, and you know, Lord knows they can go beyond 28 minutes and upset John. Hey, John, you get what you pay for, buddy. Or you get what you don't pay for. Don't complain, it's free is what I'm getting at. John's one of my listeners who likes to tweet me and let me know to keep it short. Turn left onto Georgia 290. But what I would like, by the way, I think the show was stupid, and I think his debt snowball is stupid. I think Dave Ramsey is just not financially what it's not financially what I would do. I don't ever want to belittle somebody for trying to better themselves, especially financially. If somebody needs some kind of system to get out of debt and Dave Ramsey helps them do that, good for them. I'm not trying to put anybody down. But I wouldn't do it that way, and I think it's kind of silly. But what I do want, if I could be like Dave Ramsey in any way, I want you listeners to write me at SethDunn88@gmail.com and say, I have stopped giving to the cooperative program. Either I've led my church to stop, or my church wouldn't stop. So I just started designating all my giving so they don't get it. You can call 470-315-0875 and say, "Seth, I stopped giving to the cooperative program. Yay!" And hang up or write me an email. That's what I want you guys to do. And when enough people do that, I'll stop having these shows where I say, "Here's another lady pastor in the SBC," or "Here's some tongue-talking Pentecostal in the IMB," or "Here's progressive Democrat Russell Moore in the ERLC," or "Here's the Georgia Baptist Convention and their $40 million headquarters with a bunch of fat cats." And I can say, "Oh, you know what? I don't need to worry about that because all my listeners stopped giving their money to it. They're not paying for it anymore." You're paying for lady pastors when you give to the SBC. You're paying for lady pastors. You're paying for the big fat cats who enable the lady pastors. You can't stop fat cats. You can't stop lady pastors. But I promise you, you can stop paying for it. Thanks for listening to the Christian Commute. I did not make it. I did not make it to the First Baptist Church parking lot. But I feel that the time for the show was at a close. I feel like it's time to stop. I've said my piece. I'm at 30 minutes and 35 seconds, John. Guys, if you have a question, don't forget to send it to the inbox. Keep your inbox questions coming. Thanks for listening. Sorry for another show explaining what's wrong for the Southern Baptist Convention, but they keep hiring lady pastors and doing bad things. I hope you got something out of the Bible chapter review and the... there wasn't really a lot in the Bible chapter review, let's just be frank. But maybe you got something after the out of the inbox question. And I'm going to tell you, that wasn't my best inbox answer. Shay, thank you for your question, but that's not the best job I ever did. So here's the thing. Sometimes, this is going to get a bad show when you're talking about stars on the show. Sometimes I'll do a 5-star show, and sometimes I do a 1-star show. That's going to happen. I'm going to upload it anyway, because I do this every day. So this has been a mediocre at best episode of the Christian Commute. Thanks for listening. As always, God bless. And as always, remember, Christianity is not about getting saved. It's about being saved.
Thanks for listening to the Christian Commute. Please send your questions about Christian apologetics and theology to SethDunn88@gmail.com. If you are not a Christian, please remember that you can be reconciled to God through the shed blood of His Son, Jesus Christ. The Bible teaches that all who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Repent of your sins now and accept Jesus as Lord. God bless.